Hey everybody, Craig Smoke here with a rapid reaction podcast on Sikkim365.com post-TCU as Baylor football walks off their arch rivals in fitting and dramatic fashion on this particular night of celebration. Bears 37, Horned Frogs 34, 10 years after 61-58, a new and overdue and sorely needed chapter in the rivalry for the Bears, and everyone in attendance goes home with smiles on their faces. Well, I guess most everybody, TCU fans didn't, but certainly the incredible turnout for the blackout tonight made a difference and was just awesome to see and was a big part of the festivities of this weekend. And I think my biggest takeaway from this game was not only was it nice to have a game that had a lot of importance and a lot of meaning and even some stakes, and to have a crowd that was that excited, that pumped up, that with the theme, that much wanting to be a part of the action and be a part of the advantage. It wasn't sold out. It wasn't shoulder to shoulder, but it was a very good turnout and a very lively atmosphere on a very fun night with an incredible win when all was said and done. And just shout out to the folks who turned out and turned up and made a difference and wore black. And I think we all know that we're there. How we'll carry that night with us moving forward. Not to be overly dramatic, but that was one of the biggest wins in Baylor football in a really long time and in its history, period. You walk off your arch rival, first time beating them at home in 10 years. You do it to win your third straight game. You do it to put yourself one game away from bowl eligibility when you were 2-4 about a month ago. And there's just a lot of other things that come with that. That's a big deal, and that's a outcome that will go down in Baylor lore as Isaiah Hankins will join Chris Callahan 10 years after the fact in walking off the Frogs. And that's all just so cool. And I really want to start off with just how happy I am for Isaiah Hankins, because I dread what I would probably be saying or thinking, at least on this recording and in subsequent shows and writings, had that missed extra point earlier in the game come back to haunt the Bears, because it typically does. A missed extra point does, and I know I'm not the only one. I was one of probably thousands out there looking at the time, looking at the score, and figuring out how that might play into the outcome. And fortunately, it did not, and he got to play hero at the end. And Dave Aranda had a very cool quote about Isaiah Hankins and just how he talked to him, and the quote he had, now I'm blanking on it exactly, but it was along the lines of, "That's always been you, like the guy who just walked off and kicked the game-winning field goal, and that I'm glad that the rest of the world got to see you. But that's always been you." That was the message. And that's the cool stuff that gets drowned out in losses because you don't get to say that, right? But in a moment like that, that's just that little extra dash of sprinkles on top of an already delicious Sunday with all of the stuff that we saw on Saturday night and throughout the past couple of days, and just the build-up this week that's been unlike any game for quite a while. And when we have had games like this around here, it doesn't always necessarily end with a celebration. So Isaiah Hankins gets to play hero. That was awesome. But Bryson Washington was obviously the face of this game with 4 touchdowns and 200 plus all-purpose yards, 196 on the ground, I believe 22 on 2 catches. He was sensational. And just a redshirt freshman, already making such huge strides, and clearly he's their guy in the backfield. I mean, there's not even a question about that. There is a night and day difference when he's got the football compared to most others. And look, Dawson Pendergrass had some big runs too. Not saying that he's just the only guy, but I mean, he's the guy, and he's got some other good backs around him, but he was the man tonight, that's for sure. I don't know what the rest of the league looked like individual performance-wise, but I'd have to imagine that Isaiah Hankins might get that trifecta of weekly awards, the special teams award potentially, although I don't know, you missed an extra point, but he did have a big dramatic field goal kick. I don't remember around the rest of the league how all of that worked out in terms of stats, and I would have to think Bryson Washington is not going to have many peers when it comes to offensive player of the week. That one seems like it's more of a potential lock. But again, don't know all the numbers around the league. I do know the results, and I do know this. Baylor could find itself really moving up the ranks the way this wonky league is in terms of eating itself. But to rattle off 3 straight wins after that 0-3 start and still having played what looks like mostly the cream of the crop, despite Iowa State's loss, They did lose to a team that you blew out in Texas Tech. So you see Colorado right there at the top of the standings. Iowa State finally takes their first loss. And obviously BYU still unbeaten. So those three losses to the three wins you reeled off against teams that are more on your level, but also against teams that you're not playing as you're getting better week to week. It's been a remarkable turnaround, and it sets them up very nicely over this next stretch. But it is kind of nice to also have a bit of a breather, although after three straight wins, maybe you want to continue playing. But I think the ability to reset and refocus and not let the highs get too high or the lows get too low, to use a coaching cliche there, I think this might fall at the right time to go on a closing stretch, especially when you're going to be heading to Morgantown in a couple weeks. But that's all for later on. I'm doing the media thing and probably the fan thing too, and getting too far ahead of myself. And when you haven't beaten somebody in 10 years, it probably is best to just focus on the present and soak that in as far as you possibly can. And maybe that's really the benefit of the bye week, is that this win over TCU gets to just simmer for at least a few more days. And this team deserves that with the way they found a way to win when it looked like this might be another classic chapter with a historic loss. I mean, I can't be the only one that on 4th-and-9, when the Bears elect to go for it, and Sawyer Robertson finds Michael Trigg for an absolutely humongous play to help them win the game, I can't be the only one that thought that TCU was going to get a stop there. I mean, it's 4th-and-9. They got a good pass defense, really good pass defense. Sawyer's had some big plays, but also, you know, had trouble in the passing game because of TCU's pass defense, maybe because of the wind. I don't know. It was super windy in the press box. I don't know how it affected the on the field. Certainly didn't affect the field goal kickers too much. But what a huge Stones play to convert that Robertson to Trigg. Massive stuff. But I was sitting there thinking before that, man, they're at midfield. They're not going to convert this. TCU is going to get the ball. They have the ability to hit one or two big plays because Lord knows they hit massive plays in the pass game all night long. They've got one or two plays they can get into field goal range, and this is going to be another walk-off field goal for TCU. But it wasn't. That's not what happened, and that's just probably my just reliving the stressful memories of TCU games past coming to life. But I know I wasn't the only one in the stadium thinking that, and for that 4th-and-9 to convert and for them to go and close this thing on out, just really special stuff. And the first time in a long time that there was magic at McLean. There's been wins at McLean over the last several years, but not one like that in a really long time. And to have the 2013 and 2014 teams in attendance, and to have the 2014 team, 10 years, the last time that you've beaten TCU, it was a walk-off field goal. To do that with those guys in attendance and the 2013 team, it's just incredible. So this is going to be a game that I think we all sit back and enjoy for a few days and for many for years to come. And that's just a great feeling. It's been a long time. And I'm really glad, most of all, for the players and their loved ones and the coaches and their loved ones. But I'm also really happy for the younger generation of Baylor fans. Like, I know our own Levi Caraway, who does incredible writing for Sikkim365.com. He's sitting a couple seats down from me, and I realized that this wasn't, and I think I said to him something along the lines of, like, this wasn't like 61-58, because that was just so insane with the comeback and everything. I was like, but this was in that vicinity, for sure. Certainly for this generation of Baylor fans. Now, what it leads to, it won't be a Big 12 championship this season, but it's got a lot of good things it could still lead to with three games remaining and possibly a fourth, and almost assuredly should be a fourth. Hopefully they take care of that like right when they get back from this bye week, so that's not a thing that lingers over their heads, but it's a thing that we didn't even know would still be possible at this stage the way things were going, or we suspected it would have to go down to the wire, and now they are, as much as they possibly can, given how the season started, controlling their own destiny and giving themselves a chance to accomplish some big-time goals and to win some big-time games and to put some big streaks together and to put just some good football out there. And it wasn't all perfect. Definitely some things to correct. Dave Aranda, I think he put himself at the front of the line, especially with the way the secondary played. But there was a lot to like and a lot to celebrate, certainly, from the build-up from this week through the game itself and the festivities in between, and then the aftermath, which leads into a bye week where you can soak it up a little bit extra for a couple of days, although not too long, because you can't let the highs get too high, lows get too low, etc. But that was just a lot of fun. Bryson Washington, incredibly special stuff. Sawyer Robertson is that guy at quarterback and just has that swagger about him and that ability about him that I don't think we've seen at that position in quite a while. The receivers, nobody just outshining anybody else necessarily tonight, but a lot of guys making big-time catches and obviously Tricks fourth down, and there were numerous others getting it done ultimately. I mean, to hear these guys after the loss to Colorado, like I'm sitting here thinking about what I heard while I'm also trying to talk, but to hear the confidence in the postgame after the fact, you're like, okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure, you guys won, so of course you believed it. But on the last offensive drive that Sawyer, you know, basically told the guys, like, we're going to go down and, you know, win this thing. And sure, that too is also what you hear after the fact when you go out and get it done. But I absolutely believe it. I think Sawyer's got the steering wheel. Yeah, I wish Daquan Finn was healthy, because Daquan Finn could probably have slashed through that TCU defense on a couple of occasions. But he's not. And Sawyer has taken the reins and he's running with it. And it's just really cool to see his development and his status, you know, just steadily rising week by week, his leadership, his performances. Even when certain things aren't going well, he still finds a way to make big plays. He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker and he's a leader. And he did both of those things tonight and certainly on that final drive. But offensive line deserves a ton of credit. They gave him a lot of time. You know, as much as he didn't have a lot of pressure at times, you know, Baylor's defense didn't apply a lot of pressure to Josh Hoover, so I think that kind of worked out for both offenses. But the Baylor O-line, given the story that they were at the beginning of the year to where they are now, to where Robertson does have time to flash his arm, and Bryson Washington's got the holes to run through to pile up nearly 200 yards. I mean, that's just one of many signs. And many of the names that I've mentioned that have all pretty much across the board gotten better as the season's gone along. And you look around the Big 12 scoreboard and you look ahead and you look at the standings and everything else that comes with that. And there are teams who were really good about a month ago. And there are teams who are really good one, two, three games into the season. They're starting to crash and burn, or they just got hit by a missile and they're hurting Iowa State. Still, you know, in their case, have some things to play for. But my point being is, I don't think Iowa State in particular is getting better. I think they've gotten worse over the last 3 weeks, so to speak. TCU, they're up and down. I think BYU's getting better week by week. And Baylor is certainly getting better week by week, is my point. And that's a great thing to see, is this team still has a lot in front of them, a lot they're capable of achieving. But the best part about watching this ride is that the ride keeps going up on the upward trajectory. And as a team and as a program, tonight was a massive step up for all involved, and that was just very cool to see. So soak it up, Baylor fans. Enjoy it. That's the beauty of having a bye week, I think, is you get a couple of extra days, certainly as fans and spectators and media and even as players, to enjoy it a little bit more, and rightfully so. It's been 10 years in the making, but 37-34, Baylor wins their third straight on the season, and they're first at home against TCU in a decade with that same team that last did that in attendance. Just couldn't write it any better. And as dramatic of a finish as you would want to end the story, congrats to Isaiah Hankins on a little bit of redemption there. And congrats to the team. We'll talk more about it throughout the week. That's all I got for now. I'm Craig Smoke, and this has been the Rapid Reaction Podcast on Sikkim365.com.